Yes, oh, I miss this. This is one of my favourite segments. This is when my old pal Cormac Battle goes back in time to a year that we may have forgotten all the ins and outs and what happened in that year. Cormac, good morning.
Morning, how's it going?
Interesting. I said to Lottie, I said to Graham, I said to Afric.
Yeah.
They obviously don't listen to the top of the show because I mentioned what happened in 2013. I said, what happened? Do you remember what happened in 2013? Not one of them could tell me what was going on in that year.
Do you know what though, Jen? If you say to anybody what happened in a certain year, it's virtually impossible to pull any facts from a year unless it's like something absolutely huge.
Unless you had a baby that year and then something else happened.
Stuff.
Yeah,
personal stuff that nobody else cares about.
So can we start with the big news of 2013? What's it first?
The big news was, it wasn't, Barack Obama was, he was on the scene, but he was going to a G8 summit that was happening in Fermanagh. But Michelle Obama, the real star of the show, did a tour of Ireland while he was up north with their two daughters, Sasha and Malia. So they arrived in Dublin, like total superstars. And first of all, they you know, kind of like ordinary civilians, they went for dinner in Matt the Thresher's restaurant in Dublin. Then they headed out to Finnegan's pub in Dalkey for a spot of lunch with the locals and U2's Bono.
Oh, yeah.
And the wife. The wife, do you hear me? The wife, Ali.
That's what my dad would say, the wife.
You can't say that. I'm going to retract that and say Bono and his wife, Ali. But look, Michelle
Ali and her husband, Bono.
Ali and her husband, Bono. Look, but she sprinkled her magic all over the place. But like, this is a really great clip and it's genuinely inspirational, where she was speaking to a bunch of secondary school students before a performance of Riverdance at the Gaiety Theatre. And it's interesting that she went on to call her memoir Becoming. It was called Becoming, her memoir. After, have a listen to this and it'll all make a bit of sense to you.
Here we go.
I want you to look at me and Barack and understand we are just like you. Just kids who worked a little hard and dreamt pretty big and got to do some wonderful things. And when you get to that special place, I want you to understand it is your duty and your responsibility to give back to the community that made you who you are. And what my girls are learning is that every day their home gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It is no longer just the South Side of Chicago or Washington, D.C., but it is Moneygall, it is Dublin, and that is true for you. So keep working hard and do great things. I can't wait to see who you all become. Thank you. God bless. Let's see a great show.
I think it's one of the most boring books I've ever read in my life. But
her biography.
But I love her. And I think what she said, you don't hear that a lot. People talk about when you get to a certain level in your career, it's so important to give back.
Yeah.
You know, even in this industry, Cormac, you know what I mean? I mean, sorry to bring this up, but I know you did a little podcast with an 11-year-old fan recently. You know what I mean? Like giving back, like you don't have, sorry, you know, your time is precious as well, being a dad and working
here. Yeah,
I
just don't have a lot of it.
But that's such a cool thing to do. Like taking those moments out to give back to the community or to people in your industry or whatever to help them. There is a duty there, and well said.
But like when it's inspirational, you know, that word is bandied around an awful lot, but that really is.
Yeah.
And you know, the big question is still open about Michelle Obama. Like, could she be persuaded to run as the Democratic candidate for the 2024 presidency? She hasn't shut the door completely on it. You know, she says, she does say, "Oh, I don't, that's not really for me," and stuff like that. But if she was to become their candidate, I don't know. Could they win the election with her?
Could she be
the first president of America?
Oh, but Biden is running, so she can't.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, things could change, though. Things could change, possibly.
Possibly. We'll okay, let's move on. Lapgate.
Yes,
Lapgate. I don't remember this, so you're going to have to remind me.
This is staying in the political realm, but like in Ireland, really. It was an incident that came to be known as Lapgate. It was a late night sitting of the Dáil. It could 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and it was a very busy night in the Dáil, and there was a lot going on, and Fine Gael TD Tom Barry was captured on the Oireachtas TV pulling party colleague Anya Collins onto his lap, and within an hour the incident had gone viral all over the internet, because, you know, obviously there was a live feed of what was going on. You know, it was he said of the incident himself, obviously he regretted it. He said the incident shattered him. And this is a quote from him as well. He said, "It brought me to a point I had never been to. It almost deconstructed me. I'm naturally confident and good humoured, but it just took me apart." And he went on to apologise more and said, "I did something stupid and I deserved to be fired. I was not the victim." So he offered his resignation to the then Taoiseach, Enda Kenny. Enda Kenny refused to accept his resignation at the time because of the work he was doing. But he went on to lose his seat at the 2016 general election. But this clip here is TD Áine Collins, who was involved in the incident as well, who was on Tom's lap for those few seconds when asked in an interview what she thought about what happened that night in Dáil Éireann.
Okay, let's have a listen.
It was an unfortunate, inappropriate incident in any occasion, not in mind where it was on the night it was in it. But what I would say is that it brought a spotlight on something, and everybody knows that this is inappropriate behaviour. It's not the normal running of business in Leinster House, in my time there anyway. So if there's anything good to come out of it, it's that, you know, people will think again before they behave like that.
Okay, good on her.
Yeah.
Good on her.
So, that was certainly a big incident that happened in 2013.
Absolutely. Okay. What's this tweet?
The first ever tweet in Irish sent from outer space, Jane.
That's big.
That happened in 2013 as well.
Do you remember?
Where were you? You don't know. Was it one of those missed years of yours?
Yeah.
Those years out.
No, I think I was planning a wedding.
Okay. Well, maybe you missed this then. Like in February, do you remember Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield?
Yeah.
It felt like he was living in Ireland at one point. The guy with the moustache.
Yeah. And the guitar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll tell you now in a second. He was working on the International Space Station and he tweeted a stunning nighttime photo of Dublin from 350 kilometres above the ground when he was going across. You know, he's in the space station, so he's taking pictures of the world, he's going around. And he tweeted the words, "Tá Éireann, Fíorálann. And land of green hills and dark beer," he said, "with Dublin glowing in the Irish night." And this went, you know, big in Ireland, obviously, because somebody from the International Space Station, i.e. Chris Hadfield, was tweeting about Ireland in Irish. But he went on to reveal that he had a special interest in keeping his eye literally on Ireland because his daughter was living here at the time when he took the photograph from space. His use of the Irish tweet prompted a flurry of positive messages, as you can imagine. And he retweeted again. He tweeted again, saying, "From space, wow! I can feel the warmth of the Irish people all the way up here, Gorv Mahogal." And of course, he became an honorary Irishman after all this stuff. You might famous, as you mentioned there, when him with the guitar, he famously sang David Bowie's "Space Oddity" from the International Space Station. And then, where else did he sing it? He sang it on the Late Late Show, didn't he?
He
came down and he had a chat with Ryan Tuberty and did "Space Oddity" again. He became such a thing in Ireland at the time that he ended up doing a TV ad for Electric Ireland. Like, take a listen to his voice here, because you know it has the real "I've been to space and I know the truth" kind of vibe to it. Have a listen to this.
"I've been lucky. Lucky enough to fly 200 miles above Ireland. It's beautiful by day. But when it was lit up, that's when I got to see something really special."
Yeah, doing ads and everything.
Good.
He's available
on
for
him.
Ads and voiceovers and all sorts. I don't know, he could
That's
be still
That's a decent
here.
Ad as well. That would have got him a few quid.
Yeah, it would have. Nice man, nice moustache.
Look good.
Yeah, I don't know where he is now. He's probably back in America.
Where
he's
is
forgotten
he?
All
Graham,
forgotten
where is
all
he?
About us.
Get on.
See what he's up to today.
Research.
If we can find a picture
Jesus
of him somewhere
lazy.
Today.
Look at him standing there staring in space.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Literally. Can't get the staff. You cannot. Yeah, staring in space. I like that.
Your hair is grand. Stop messing with your hair. God almighty.
Showbiz. A big one. You were talking about it earlier on with Lottie. But it has to be the jaw-dropping and controversial performance by Miley Cyrus at the 2013 VMAs alongside Robin Thicke. The two singers joined forces as they performed Blurred Lines, obviously a controversial song in itself. So this was a double controversy. The song was controversial And
she was controversial.
She was controversial for her.
She's all about the...
This word made it into the Oxford English Dictionary that year as one of the biggest words of the year, twerking.
Twerking.
Because like Miley was in the live performance, she was grinding on a giant foam finger, twerking against Robin Thicke. And she also, if you want more detail, she had her tongue hanging out for the entire performance and wore nothing but nude-coloured, skin-tight hot pants at a crop top. This is for people who haven't seen the video, of course. I have seen it. And it's rumoured to be one of the reasons for Miley's first split from her actor husband at the time, Liam Hemsworth, or a few years later, Liam Hemsworth, because this performance, he just couldn't get over it, apparently. But it was a big water cooler moment at the time. Some say it was overly sexual, and others saying it was harmless fun. And of course, American fundamentalist Christian groups were very, very upset about the whole thing, including Icon herself, who wasn't afraid of a bit of raunch. But here's what pop icon Cher had to say. Cher,
I've said this and I believe this. If the chick had come out naked and done a great performance, doing the same things, I don't care. I would have said, you know, great. I'm behind you 100%. I don't like the fact that it wasn't good. It's my professional opinion.
It's my professional opinion. The chick came out. I love the way she said the chick came out on stage, but she didn't have any problems. She just thought she did a bad job in the dancing. She thought she was
that.
A bad dancer, you know?
Yeah.
That was it.
But
Cher, you know,
can I say that because she's amazing.
But
I
she's
mean,
Cher,
if the performance is bad and you try and... fanny around the place and like dress it up with your tongue sticking out and it. Yeah, absolutely.
But Miley said her life changed forever after that day.
Did she?
Yeah, that was the end of innocence for her.
Can I just jump in for a second?
Yeah,
Graham's done a bit of work. I have to read it out because you get very narky if you don't. In October 2015, Chris Hadfield, there's a typo in there, Graham, just FYI. Chris Hadfield released Space Sessions, Songs from a Tin Can. It was an album of songs that he had recorded on the International Space Station. His Guide of the Cosmos tour is coming to the port. Gosh, June 25th.
No.
And that wasn't even intentional.
That's pretty.
I want tickets.
That's impressive. June 25th, that's next month.
Graham, you love that, wouldn't you? Graham's all over it.
That's fantastic.
Get onto the board, gosh, there. There you go. Something else to do. Okay, so she said it changed your life forever, Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, well, you can imagine. Like, yeah. You know, can you remember the spotlight that was on this at the time? You know,
I do.
Because she had a fairly girl next door kind of image up to this point, and that
and
radically
changed.
She came
out and
changed,
she was like, obviously. What is she smoking? What the hell
America
is this?
America turned upside down and thought that the devil had moved in.
Okay, let's keep it with music and let's talk about the big tune.
It's funny, actually, because you played his current single only a few minutes ago, but a man called Andrew Hosier Byrne...
Oh, we were talking about hamsters, so I had to play Eat Your Young.
Eat Your Young? Oh, that was that on purpose? Or was it an accident?
Yeah.
It was an accident,
purpose.
Wasn't it?
No.
Accidentally. Look, a man called Andrew Hosier Byrne, as you played earlier on, he released his debut single called Take Me to Church on the 13th of September 2013. And he scored a worldwide hit. I doubt anyone, including himself, had any idea what was going to happen with the song. Do you know, he originally wrote it and recorded the first version of it in the attic of his parents' house. Now, this song went on to attain what is called diamond status in the United States.
Now, you're a musical snob.
I am.
I love how you said yes to that. Well done.
Well, yeah, I'm just not going to deny it.
You're a bit of a snob when it comes to music.
Yeah.
What's your honest opinion of this song?
I think it's absolutely brilliant. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, he may or may not be listening or anything like that. But it just stood out. And one thing about Hosier as well, you bring out a song like this, it's absolutely massive all over the world. I said diamond status. That means it sold over 10 million copies. That's a small club in America where something sells over 10 million copies. But it wasn't like a one-hit wonder where he disappeared and couldn't bring out material that was up there. You've just played his new single a few minutes ago. That's 10 years later, and he is.
Love him.
He is dining out and Take Me to Church, but he has been consistently good ever since, having set the bar so high for himself, which was a daunting thing.
It's very tough.
Because it's tough to have a super hit on your first
it's
release, and I know these things. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh God, Cormac is very tall.
He's very tall. I saw him outside there about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I met him a couple of years ago. He's very tall.
You had to bend down really low to get the water out of the water cooler.
Did he? Well, listen, this was the tune.
Take me to church, I worship like a dog.
There we go. We all know that song. And if you want to hear it in full, Text me 51552.
Can we play? But that's the thing. Can we play Hosier like twice in a row within 20 minutes? Is that allowed?
I don't care
today. Can we do that kind of thing?
I think everybody knows. Today of all days.
Yeah, I know.
I don't care.
I know that.
I'm going to play it if I want to play it. I don't even care if people say, please don't play it. Will you just play his new one? I don't care.
In fact, is that the case? Don't bother texting at all because Jen is going to make the decision either way.
Like, that's what I do anyway.
That's no. Not true, by the way.
Of course I listen to you. I love you, my friend.
That's not true.
That was 2013. Yeah, done and dusted. Thanks a lot for that, Cormac. Let's do it. You've been texting in your droves.
I love that line.
You've been texting in. We've had a million. Cormac, I don't even have the full song here.
Do you not? No. Did I not put it down the bottom?
No, you didn't. You put the 46 second one.
Well, look, Graham.
Do you know what? I'm going to give you a piece of information that. So he's flat out pretending to be busy and he's going to put Take Me to Church on the
He's
going to
do it.
Wall.
Yeah, he's going to do it. I did that to make sure that I was asked this by upper management to see if everyone was paying attention.
We're talking about hamsters.
Yeah.
Hamsters, I'm not a fan of hamsters because they eat their young, but hamsters may eat their babies due to fear, stress, depression, lack of space in their cage and poor diet. This is a natural instinct seen in most rodents. Don't care, there's no excuse. No excuse. Nope. I'm sorry. No
I was
excuse.
Bitten by a hamster.
How did that go?
They're a gerbil. I don't know what the difference between the two of them is.
And then a hamster, a gerbil, and
a
then
hamster,
the other
a gerbil. I don't know what the difference is. But it had
guinea pig.
Could be a guinea pig. Two big buck teeth. And put my hand into its cage and he just bit me. It was like two razor blades.
What's a chinchilla then? Do you know what a chinchilla is?
That's a Mexican food, isn't it?
Let's do it. You've been texting in your droves. The PI will give the people what they want.
Absolutely.
Hosier. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.